Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey San, Space-san, how are you? Many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm your faithful host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is here to help you improve both your social and your digital marketing. First of all, a question. What happened to our spring? London has basically almost frozen over. We've had attempts at hail and snow on the weekend, and although it looks very warm, it certainly did this morning, nice and sunny, it's actually, well, it's more like Arctic winds out there. So I'm not sure what's going on with the climate at the moment. It is the final week of April 2016, and it really shouldn't be this cold. Now, another question. Did you ever wonder how the heavily regulated and traditional insurance industry can make use of social media? Well, in that case, at least I can help, because I speak to Keith Lewis of Zurich Insurance in the UK today to learn how they're using LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube to tell stories to target audiences of consumers, brokers, and employees. And we'll listen to that chat in just a tick. First of all, though, a correction. Last week, I may have mentioned that we're planning our annual conference, SM London Live, at the wrong date. So forget whatever date I may have said. It's on the 9th of November. So November 9th for the benefit of our American listeners. There's still time to get involved. Head on over to socialmedialondon.co.uk/live and let us know if you'd like to speak, if you'd like to be on a panel, if you want to sponsor, or if you want to be a media partner, or anything else. Perhaps you just want to attend. I'm sure we can help you with that as well. And if you want to get in touch with me, I would love to hear from you on my email, which is jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's J-O-R-G-E-N at linkhumans.com. And before we roll this insurance social media interview, I'd like to share my little quick tip of the week. Right, so this week's little tip is Google's attempt at freshening up our email experience. So instead of dusting off the old Gmail app and tinkering too much with that, they have decided to launch Inbox. So that's Inbox with a capital I, which is basically, I would say, it's a new approach to emails. And Inbox has a very clean layout. It's built around your mobile device. Some very cool features include, first of all, bundling of emails. So let's say you have confirmation emails about a trip. So we're talking a flight confirmation, hotel confirmation, maybe a transfer and other things. These will then be automatically put into a bundle, which is all about that specific trip. And you can, of course, add more emails to this specific bundle, but you can create your own bundles. And they don't have to be about journeys. They can be about, I don't know, football or whatever interests you may have. Also, you can set yourself reminders, which will appear at the top of your inbox. You decide when they appear, and you can snooze them as well. So really, really handy stuff. Speaking of snoozing, along with archiving emails, just like on Gmail, which I love doing, instead of deleting, just archives, and you can search for it later. With Inbox, you can snooze emails. So let's say you get an email you need to deal with, or you may need to look at it on a big screen, or you need someone else's input and so on. Instead of just leaving it to languish in your inbox, you just hit snooze, and you can then choose if you want it to appear again later today, this week, next week, or any other time. So really useful stuff. Finally, the latest feature rolled out is that when you get an email with someone asking a question, it suggests three different answers to it. So they don't always get it exactly right, but I've got a feeling this will only get better. So if you're looking to jazz up your email experience, and if you prefer messaging apps to emailing, then I would say Inbox is the email solution for you. Obviously, it's available on Android because it's owned by Google, and also on iOS, and it is free. Thank you very much, Google. Right, with that, it's time to transition to this week's interview. I'm going to patch in the South Coast, and we're going to talk all about insurance and social media.
Keith Lewis, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. And could you start by telling us about Zurich Insurance and what you do there, please?
Sure. Well, Zurich Insurance, we're a global insurance company in 55,000 people across the world, 120-odd countries. I look after social media here in the UK, and we look after both our life insurance business, so pensions, protections, and investment, but primarily the stuff we're doing across social is on our general insurance. So we insure everything from your car, my home, individuals' property, all the way up to global companies who have a global operation, perhaps headquartered in the UK, through to things like massive parts of London real estate insurance. So we also do have a whole arm of risk engineering. So generally speaking, if you can see a lift in the UK or an escalator in the UK, it's likely that a Zurich engineer has given it a seal of approval. So we do all sorts of things to make sure people are protected in their day-to-day lives.
And just with the name, is it a Swiss company?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are based out of Zurich, capital of Switzerland, but obviously global operation.
Yeah. Okay, great. And if we look at the insurance industry, I imagine it is a highly regulated industry, just like any financial sector. What are some of the challenges that you face with social media?
For sure, yes. We're a highly regulated area, and different regulations apply to different parts of the business that we operate. So we always have to be very acutely aware of that when we're operating in the space. But it's mainly around the actual selling of insurance. So I divvy what we do into two brackets. We're obviously there to sell products around all those different things that we've already talked about. But we're also here to talk about Zurich as a company in the UK. Mm-hmm. So we've got 22 locations here. We've got 5,500 people who work in different across all those different things that I talked about earlier. So we use social a lot to tell the Zurich story or start to tell the Zurich story about how we operate in our local environments. Because, of course, as a big company, we've got all the usual things you might expect us to do, but people don't necessarily associate insurance with things like that. So we've got a big community trust. All our employees do 2 or 3 days of charity work at least a year. We do all our local engagement around our different sites. So we do lots of different things. It's all part of telling the Zurich story, really.
Okay, so I think you've answered my next question, really. What the objectives are for social media for Zurich Insurance?
Yeah, for sure. Of course, we've got to drive business value from it. And so I take sort of Andrew Grill's definition from IBM of social business over social media. So creating networks and building collaboration to tell the stories, but it has to drive a value. So in sort of telling the story, we've got to make sure that people see us as an employer of choice or someone they want to work with or actually recognizing that we do all the things that I've talked about. As well, of course, so that's driving that business. But also we've got to try and make sure that people are aware that your average consumer or business owner or executive is aware of the importance that insurance has. And I'm sure most of your listeners, I'm a listener as well, so I've listened to the podcast for a number of years now, are out there going, insurance, God, it's dull, isn't it? and frankly, it is. It's not the sort of glamorous product that you'd naturally associate with social media. We don't actually have a product that people have in their properties. We used to have an insurance certificate. Nowadays, that's just electronic. So, and people very rarely get excited about their renewal premiums coming in. So we have to find ways, interesting ways of explaining what we do and the value that we offer to whatever it is the customer is and wants.
Yeah, for sure. And here at Link Humans, we're customers of Zurich Insurance and also of Hiscox. And I think Simpler Business is the broker. And I think we tend to get content marketing from all of you guys, which is not necessarily about insurance. It's more about building your business and tips on being an entrepreneur and so on. And I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah, we've got to offer advice to people. I mean, our global brand strategy is around protecting things you truly love. So thinking about all the things that are in your life, how can we help protect that? Now, a lot of that is just advice, obviously, to stop you ever having to claim. But the important thing that we're less good at, and I admittedly, is actually explaining to people how we do put things right. And that's what we're here for, those moments of crisis in those operations. We're there to fix it, really.
Right, yeah. And how do you go about generating a what I would call a storytelling culture inside the business, so that it's not just corporate communications talking, but how do you get employees and stakeholders to tell the stories?
We're at the beginning, or just at the near the beginning of a pretty long journey here. Where I gaze out admirably around some of the previous organisations you've had and other people you've had who tell their employee advocacy story. It's a part of the thing we've not really done very well at in the past, and we're now recognising that. Perhaps that I coming into role helps do that, to kind of free people up. We're a very conservative organisation, and the destruction culture of the organisation has been like that for years, as you'd expect perhaps from a complex regulated world, that we're inherently nervous about allowing people to speak out loud. But now the world has changed. Social has absolutely shifted that. And now we're reversing that, all those decades of culture that we've had, and trying to change that. So part of my role is to get out across all our UK offices to give people permission, really. They've thought for a number of years they're not allowed to talk about Zurich and talk about all the good stuff that we do, or even the real small stuff that we take for granted in sharing some of that content. But we've now got it written into our Zurich Basics, which is our global sort of behavioural framework. I'm sure most of your listeners will have something like that you all agree to and sign up to as part of your organisation. Zurich Basics makes it explicitly clear that all our employees can operate in the social media environment about work-related matters. If they choose not to, that's fine. But what I'm on a journey now is to try and give people permission to start sharing, to start engaging, to build those networks of their own in their own lives, whether it is a professional network or a personal network, and to start to explain what they do.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know a company that's gone one step further. They actually write into employment contracts that the individual has to tweet at least twice a week or do one LinkedIn update.
I think we're a little bit away from going quite there, because I think we've got to recognise that not everyone in our organisation, across any organisation, is going to naturally be a social media expert. They might be quite happy to do what they do, and perhaps have Facebook as a purely personal thing, like most of us do. But having the ability and the permission to expand their networks, and we're all far busier. Everyone says that, don't they? We're all far busier now, doing more. We're less able to get out and perhaps do those face-to-face networking that perhaps people did 10, 15, 20 years ago. So a lot of that networking now happens in an online space. So we have to give people, we're kind of having to give people permission to operate and to get back out there. And it's good to see people around our organisation starting to make those inroads.
And when you say you travel up and down the country or to your 22 sites and so on, do you do workshops? Is it online training? Or how do you encourage people to?
So what I'm doing at the moment, so I've been around for 6 months, so it's really been, and there's lots of other things been going on around the organisation, as there always is, so it's getting the timing right. A lot of it at the moment is I've got a presentation that I talk through to explain that they're allowed to, and how the fact that we as Zurich, as a corporate group, we've got lots of social media channels that we use across our different parts of the business. So we're doing it, so you can too. So we're kind of doing the me preaching the gospel bit, and I say to people, I will go and perform at any group, however big or small, or individual or town hall meetings, and come and give you the message. And then it's kind of figuring out from them what they want. So developing things like a video walkthrough of how LinkedIn now looks, because lots of people perhaps in our organization maybe remember signing up to LinkedIn years ago and haven't been on there for the last year, 2 years, and haven't realised how much it's changed. So we kind of have to show people do that, and people do that in different ways. So whether it's a fact book, a fact guide on the intranet, or a video that they can look at that shows them the different features of these platforms and how they might use it, just trying to leave all those tips.
Cool. And if we talk about these the bigger campaigns and so on, I know that Zurich Insurance as a company, you sponsor golf quite a bit. Tell me about how's that working out for your audience and engagement and so on.
Yeah, we've been in golf for decades, actually. It started in the US, where we were the sponsor of the Zurich Classic in New Orleans at the time where the Hurricane Katrina blew through. And we obviously were part of rebuilding Katrina. And taking that forward, we realized that lots of our core customers, whether that's the age bracket of personal customers that we've got, or brokers, or business people, community group, golf is a really good fit for that. So we still insure some of those global tournaments, but we've also got global ambassadors. So we're one of Justin Rose's sponsors. Jamie Donaldson. So we've got about six or seven global ones. We're also now bringing that to the UK, so increasing our visibility around the British Masters golf event, which in October came back after a big break last year. So we're doing more of that. But then we're taking golf out to our brokers. We do a golf tournament with one of the trade publications for brokers. We do an employee golf tournament, so encourage our employees to come out and play and live that as well. And people might have seen our golf love tests that we did with our global brand ambassadors, where we put them up to a lie detector machine and figured out whether they and told them whether they did truly love golf. So you can have a look on YouTube for those. There's some really good videos there to do. So we're bringing it up, and we've got to find ways of taking the insurance message, which is quite serious and quite dull, in different ways. And golf's a really good way of bringing that out, seeing the Zurich logo all over the globe there, given that we are a global operation, it is helpful.
Yeah, and from what you said, it's interesting that you've got kind of three target audiences as well. You've got employees, you've got B2B, brokers, and then B2C, which is the public. So I guess as long as everyone plays golf, then happy days.
Yeah, we acknowledge that there's a great chunk of the British population doesn't, but we're a global operation. We have to make it work, and we have to work our assets really hard. So it's great that we've got a tool like that. And if you look around some of what our competitors are doing in the sports sponsorship space, a lot of them are doing a lot. So we've chosen our route to market, and we've got to make that work as hard as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at the different social and digital channels that you use, which ones have give you the best results? And are there any specific campaigns that you've done that's done well on a platform?
LinkedIn is one that's working mainly for us at the moment. We've used Twitter as a broadcast tool really over the years, and part of what we're trying to do now is to change that from broadcast to engagement. So we're trying to engage that, but we've got to remember that lots of people are engaging our brokers, so it's B2B, not necessarily B2C. So we're using more LinkedIn, and that's where I hark back to the employee advocacy piece, is that people have their own networks. So we need to equip our employees with the content that they can then share with their own networks, which starts to bring the brand. And LinkedIn is a great tool to allow people to do that. And it also feels, when you're taking people on a journey, that LinkedIn is the safe place to do it. It's
yes.
Clearly a professional environment. You're there professionally, so you've automatically got those built-in limits perhaps in your mind as to what sorts of things you're going to talk about. So that's a good comfort blanket. Personally, for me, I like to... I'm on Twitter a lot, because that's where, as a communicator, and I come to this from a media perspective, media relations is my background. So that's where journalists are. That's where news breaks. So using that more and trying to pick out the key people around our organization to work their networks that are on Twitter. But for me, the message I take to people is, I'm not bothered what platform you choose, as long as you understand what you're trying to achieve by being on it. And where your audience is. So for us, perhaps some of our more, let's call them less exciting areas. So our underwriter community, our actuaries, where do actuaries hang out online? It might be that they're in a chat forum that's attached to a trade magazine for actuaries. If that's where the community is and that's where they go, that's where I want them to play. So it's understanding that audience piece where you can create that business value that I hark back to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and what's the return on investment from the social media, and how do you measure it?
Isn't that the killer question?
Yes,
you'd be delighted. I don't really have a great answer to that. We are, I guess, this might be reflected across other organisations that you speak to or other guests that you've had on. We're in that position where we're actually trying to retrofit strategy and ROI to our material that we've been using for years.
Right.
So. Kind of proving it. Now that we have someone in role doing my job, so a social media manager, I have to prove my worth, and that might be, how do we prove that our HR employer brand piece works? Are we getting people to walk through the door purely off the back of our social activity? Yes, we are. And then you can attach a sum to that, because we're not having to pay for traditional job adverts for it. And that's starting to happen. Often, as I said, more people recruit online. Sometimes there's a cost to it. Others, it's word of mouth. So it's identifying why we're doing it for each area and how that worked. Is it broker relationship building? And as ever, how do you put a value on that relationship building process? Hopefully they will renew their business, their customer's business with us, or as an individual customer, you'll renew. But how can you pinpoint that renewal decision to a piece of social activity or any other marketing activity? So we're working through all that all the time, and I'm really interested to follow the debates that are going on in the PR and comms world about moving metrics and how do we park AV well in the past. And I've seen Stephen Waddington's blog in the last couple of days has got a whole chunk of metrics that we could use instead, and I see that replicated elsewhere as well. So it's finding those things that work for the business and actually accepting that that might be different for different channels, different markets, different parts of the organization.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so if we look at technology, what tech tools and apps do you use, and what would you recommend to fellow marketers?
Oh, blimey. So I'm more of an iOS man, so apologies to Android. So I tend to use all the usual tools, to be fair. I tend to use the native ones because I think they tend to work better. We use the Salesforce Social Studio package internally.
Okay.
Because it's a good way, or any of those tools, actually, given that I'm part of a global operation as well as a UK one, we like to be able to share content easily, and I like to be able to reuse content that perhaps my North American colleagues have used, or our group colleagues have used in Switzerland, or even in the Far East now. We've got some really interesting stuff going on in the Malaysian market. But using one tool as a global operation allows me to dip into their content and repurpose it in an easy way, rather than me having to either get up very early to get somebody on the phone in Kuala Lumpur to say, can you send me that picture? Or conversely, having to stay up late to get a piece of an image or a graphic from our US team. Having a tool like Social Studio, and there are plenty of others that do the same thing, to allow you to share and repurpose and reuse content, really, really useful. And of course, it has built-in analytics as well, which I know they've improved a lot lately. So I quite like that. Personally, I like TweetDeck because I like to see things. Using the lists, Twitter lists, I think are a massively underused tool. And I can't quite get my head around the fact that Twitter doesn't seem to want us to use them. You have to really hunt for Twitter lists on the native apps.
Yes, you do.
They're a really good tool. So having something like TweetDeck or those sort of column-based tools helps to visualize and keep abreast all those areas.
Right. And just going back to the Salesforce, was it Social Studio? Does that incorporate Radian 6, the old Radian 6 as well?
Yes, it does. Yeah. So we use some of that feed coming through, and it helps to do some of the social listening.
Excellent.
That brings through, which is really useful. And as we're developing new areas or looking into new markets, having that listening capability to find out what's going on out there, what people are saying, what customers are saying, what brokers might be saying is invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And if we look at some brands that inspire you in the insurance industry or not in the insurance industry, have you got any particular ones you want to mention?
I tend to think about personal brands rather than the corporate ones. So I've already mentioned both Stephen Waddington and Andrew Grill are great leaders in this space, and I follow and listen to all and learn from those guys. Really experienced people from an Eastern perspective. From a Western, there's a bunch of guys in the US who I've been following for the last year, who, as I've been learning the social media trade, people like Amy Schmittauer, who's a big YouTuber. Vincino Landino is a podcaster, and Sue B. Zimmerman looks after Instagram. There are people like that who you can hook onto, and I learn a lot by that. So I like that. As kind of answering your brand question, my other world is rugby.
All right.
So I like what some of the rugby unions are doing. As a Welshman, I follow the WRU, but I like what sort of the English RFU do to engage their audiences, to tell the rugby story, to get more people into rugby and following. And I like how they've done that in terms of sending players out to deliver their people's match tickets. It's great video. It really drives sort of fan engagement. And I kind of think about those ways, how we as perhaps a less obvious brand could learn from some of the lessons that the rugby people do in clubs. And there's loads of great social being doing in the sports arena, and how we can bring that into our world.
Yeah. So, but there must be someone rocking it in the world of insurance too, surely.
Well, I'd like to say some of my colleagues are. We do some good work through our commercial broker, our Zurich Municipal, which is our local authority business, and Ensley. People don't realise Ensley are part of the Zurich world as well, perhaps the student insurer. All looking at different markets, creating content for those people. So it's really how we bring those people out. But I kind of like what the others in the market are doing. Aviva obviously have a lot of brand visibility, and I like to see how that's being played through. How do they use that brand sponsorship that they have with athletics and rugby, and how does that play through, and seeing how those things work. And if you've got those great brand platforms, then how you work them is always good to watch.
Yeah, great. So what do you think is the next big thing for social and digital in the insurance space?
I think it's it's how we talk to customers. We've got to remember, and people don't realize this, that customers who interact with us are generally have got a problem that they need to solve. People don't realize that complaints are regulated in the financial services world, and we have to report on them. So we are sometimes criticized for taking complaints offline and dealing with them. That's kind of because we have to, because we have to report those. But how we make that a smoother process is certainly something we could improve on, and we're putting some software into our Ensley operation that allows sort of social to be part of the normal way people do. So a call handler might have a phone call coming in, the next on the list might be a tweet to deal with, it might be a Facebook message to deal with. So we need to get smarter about doing that. I think it goes back, the big thing for us is how we tell our stories. Inherently, most people thinking of insurance start on a negative because they remember the renewal premium coming in. It may have gone up. They've not had a claim. The market's changing from a bit where we're businesses, after all, so we have to make money. We've had some big losses in the last 12 months in the UK and globally. So we need to factor all that in. And we need to take customers with us on a journey. They are legally obliged to have car insurance, and we have to tell that story better about how we help, how we're part of a helping them to keep going, keep driving their cars in the way that they want to. But then the future is, there's a whole world, the Internet of Things changes a load of things for us as insurance companies. Think about the way driverless cars is going. As an insurance company, that solves our problem. Or does it? It perhaps changes the insurance debate into a liability debate. Because now, when you in the not too distant future, you won't be driving your car when it crashes. The software will be driving it. So who looks after the software? Who's responsible when that software goes wrong? And how do we as insurers build for the future and get ready for that debate? So there's lots of really exciting things going on there in the insurance space that we're working towards and trying to find a way we can help customers in the future.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Right, so final question. Where can we learn more about yourself, Keith, and Zurich Insurance?
Well, as ever, from a media perspective and a social, we're one of the easiest people to find. So I'm at Keith Lewis Comms on most channels. So Twitter's my one of choice, but you can generally find me. Or Zurich Inns UK is our UK corporate account, and the different channels feed off the back of that. So hunt me out. And if you've got any questions, I'd be delighted to help answer them or continue the conversation over there.
Keith Lewis, thank you for your time.
Thanks very much.
Right, okay, some good tongue twisters there. Let's see, I've got written down here. Amy Schmidtauer, Vincenzo Landini, Subi Zimmermann, Jorgen Sundberg, lots of them. Keith has been saying that he feels a little bit bland in this company, but being Welsh, surely you have a really cool Welsh middle name, Keith. All these names will be linked to in the podcast article. No need to get lost Googling, just like I did. So funny that last week's interview talked about the Wales Millennium Centre. Keith is Welsh. I'm seeing a pattern here. We'll see if we get on next week. And Keith, I hope you don't mind. I embedded a very cool video tweet by England Rugby just to showcase what brands can do. And if you want this replaced by an equally good Wales Rugby tweet, just let me know. Right, that was that. This week's big shout out is going to our great friends at Digital Mums here in the UK. Yeah, so these guys They're always very active partakers of our weekly SM London tweet chats. And it's great to have you guys in the community. So Digital Mums, basically, they match businesses that need help with their social media with mums trained to be social media managers, as featured in Guardian and Mail Online, hashtag real mum moments, according to their Twitter bio, which is it's a great idea. So mums, for whatever reason, might not be able to go into the office every day. They could obviously do social media from wherever they are with the comfort of their phone or their iPads and so on. Anyway, find them at digitalmums.co.uk and on Twitter they're at digitalmumshq. Right, finally, do you want to make me happy? Why don't you go ahead and rate this podcast in iTunes, please? And I might just give you a shout out on the next podcast episode. That's it, folks. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next week. Shinixa.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
My words of wisdom are, don't be afraid to take risks. We've got to recognize that taking risks sometimes pays off, but sometimes they don't, and how we learn from those, both on an individual tactical basis, but sometimes from a career perspective as well.